This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Katrina Rowe from the Mouths of Babes. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning. I'm feeling a bit of pressure now after I heard you guys talking this up.
Well, it's fair. It's a bit of a... it is something that parents are a little bit obsessed about.
Mm.
Yes. Well, yes, sleeping through the night is our topic for today. And I think it's the question most commonly asked to new parents, you know, is he or she, you know, sleeping through the night yet? And yes, obviously sleep and babies, et cetera, is a big challenge. But it would be easy to get the impression from all these questions that getting your baby to sleep through the night should be their first and final goal of parenting, you know?
I kind of thought it was. For me, that really is my first goal.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of come full circle on this one. I remember when Bertie was about 3 months old and she started catnapping, and I had a copy of Save Our Sleep on the shelf. So I read it from cover to cover and started her on a feeding and sleeping routine, you know. And at the time, I thought it was a lifesaver. You know, her sleeping improved, she was more settled, life was good. But now, I must admit, whenever I hear new parents bragging about how their little one is sleeping through the night at 12 weeks, I find it very hard to stop the corners of my mouth from curling up because the baby who's sleeping, you know, like an angel at 6 months, you know, or 3 months or whatever, ain't necessarily going to be so at 9 months or even one or two, you know. So I'm not saying that you don't need to teach good sleeping skills. Of course you do. But if you make sleeping through the night the number one goal of your parenting, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Mm. And what makes you have this view, Katrina?
Well, I just think that, you know, okay, you teach your child to self-settle at 3 months, and then at 4 months, maybe they start teething, right? So they start waking up. And then maybe at 6 months, they want to feed more, and maybe at 9 months, they're snotty and they can't breathe, and then they're teething again, you know? And then maybe at one, they develop separation anxiety, and so they're waking up just to check that you're still there. And then at 1.5, they don't want to go in their sleeping bag anymore, so they kick off all the blankets and they wake up freezing, you know, and then they get sick again. And then at 2, maybe they start having night terrors or bad dreams. Then they might move into the big bed and they might maybe fall out or find themselves upside down with their head under the duna and their feet out the window. You know, they get sick again. Then they develop asthma or hay fever or eczema and they wake up, you know, coughing, sneezing, scratching, whatever. And then by the time they're 3, they're toilet trained and they want to get up in the middle of the night and go to the toilet.
You've just put everyone off having kids.
You know, I mean, so, yes, it's worth teaching them to sleep, but if you think you're going to be sleeping blissfully, you know, probably not. And so now maybe you can understand why when some parent tells me gleefully at 12 weeks that their new baby is sleeping through the night and that all their sleeping problems are over, I have to kind of turn my face away slightly, you know, and bite my tongue, because I would have said the exact same thing when Bertie was 3 months old. But now I get up most nights to a snotty, coughing, itching, upside down, uncovered, scared, whatever, little girl who just wants a kiss and a cuddle from mummy.
So,
and, you know, it's not a big deal.
So, so it's important, the whole sleeping thing, but it's basically, it's going to happen. We're going to get restless nights. It's going to happen for long periods of time. What then should be our primary focus as parents?
Well, you know, I think just loving them. And I think that, yes, sometimes that's going to mean tough love. And, yes, you do have to teach babies and kids how to sleep, but I think sometimes it just means finding it in your heart to be patient and kind and loving, you know, even at 2 a.m. you know, when it's not always easy.
That's true. That's a very good point. Is your child a good sleeper, though? I would like to hear. I mean it still is important, of course, but when did they start sleeping through the night? And if they don't sleep well, what do you do to deal with this, and how do you keep that important goal of just loving them when that you hear them screaming at 2 a.m. or crying out, or, "Mommy, Daddy, go to the toilet," or something? Do you sometimes feel pressure?
Bed. Oh, I'm sleeping.
Do you do that?
No, I don't do that.
Do you sometimes feel pressure from other family members or friends to fix them? Whatever that means. Would you do anything different next time around, I suppose? What have you? How have your expectations changed over time? If you've got the ultimate tips or tricks for sleeping as well, for children and for you, that'd be good as well. Love to hear from you this morning. 1-300-40-20-20. Thank you, Katrina.
You're welcome.
Absolute champion, Katrina Rowe.
Can I shoot out something?
Shoot away.
And I'm not good at this. I don't claim to be good at this, but there have been occasions when I've done it well. Mm. So just the other night, I won't say who, because obviously it's a bit embarrassing, but Connor and I were in the same bed. One of us wet the bed. Mm-hmm. I won't say which one of us it was. Anyway, sure. And it was really cool because I put myself in the shoes and said, well, that's like, you don't get cranky when you go, oh, well, that must be really tough for the guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's tired, that's happened, he's uncomfortable. Mm. And then you don't get cranky, really, do you, if you put yourself in the shoes of your child?
No, and you should know better by now at 28 years of age.
I know.
I personally think.
I'm a bit embarrassed by him.
That's all right. That's okay. Yeah, you don't feel bad. Justine's on the phone. Good morning, Justine.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Tell us your experiences.
Yeah, well, we brought home a baby who looked like she was going to be perfect from the start, and then around 3 months she stopped sleeping, things just got progressively worse. But we hadn't wanted to do any strict regime or anything with her because we felt it was a bit more gracious to... Yeah, she didn't understand what was going on. But after about 8 months of that, we were slowly losing our grip with reality. But I can't rate highly enough Karatani. They helped us out so much. On the phone, you can ring them anytime pretty much, and Tricillian as well. Mm. We ended up having a week at Karatani just sorting out routine stuff. And in the end, we decided we had to teach her how to sleep. It was a skill she needed. So we did, though that was a bit hard at times. But now she's quite a good sleeper. But I have to agree with what... the lady before was saying, sorry, I can't remember her name.
Katrina, yep.
Yep, sorry. And that we often have nights when we're up, depending on what's going on. But because it's just once or twice a night now, I just think that's my job as a mum. And it doesn't impact me as much anymore. But before, I would be up 10 times a night. Now, that was a bit too much for anyone's health or sanity. But, yeah, I can't rave enough about Karatani. So if people out there are having problems, to ring them or get referred through their clinic or their GP if they really are having a difficult time, because they are just wonderful. So there's people out there who can help you. And their website is really good too. Lots of tips and stuff. And I think they also have a home visit service in some situations as well.
Oh, wow.
So they are just fantastic. And they just have seen so many babies, and they were really good at saying, helping you understand your child as well, not just saying here's the rules and apply them, but watching what your child's behaviour is like and helping you to see why they weren't sleeping. So that was so encouraging and so compassionate. So
it's good to know that help is available, isn't it, if you really feel like you're struggling with it.
Yeah, and like for people out there who are struggling, don't go on like that, because it was an awful time for us, because sleep deprivation affects everything.
Yeah.
So now things are in a bit more balance. We're healthy, so the family environment is healthy and happy, and so that's really good. But, yeah, but I certainly do feel that as parents, our job is to be gracious and loving like God. It's hard. It's hard at 2 a.m.
Yeah, of course it is.
Rather than just saying, you will learn to sleep right from the word go, because they come into the world, they've got no idea what's going on. It's all new to them. They just need love, really. At some point, love means teaching them a skill they need.
Absolutely. It's a good news story. Good one. Thank you, Justine.
Much appreciated.
And Natalia is on the line as well. Good morning, Natalia.
Just screen. It's been doing this all morning, Demi. Sorry, go.
I said good morning.
Good morning.
The next thing I heard was you going, and punching.
Hello, Natalia. I'm punching the screen.
Good morning.
How are you going?
Really well, yourself?
Good. What have you got for us?
Well, look, I've got two children. I've got now a 10 and 11-year-old, and my little boy was our firstborn, and from the way go, he just didn't want to sleep, and we've tried absolutely everything, and now, you know, 11 years down the track, he's still the same.
Wow.
And my little girl, she just slept through the whole time, and nothing changed. Everything was the same. So sometimes I think as parents, we need to understand the characters as well. And that was a journey for us to understand both of our children. I think that any parent that has more than one child will understand that your child is different to the next. Mm. And so just maybe understanding them a little bit more. And sometimes we get them wandering to our bed even now at 10 and 11, and you know, that's okay. You know, they're only little for a short time. They're not going to be in our bed when they're 18.
No, thank goodness.
But so just understanding your child and just loving them through that journey, even though it's hard sometimes. But hey, that's why we're parents.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. Thanks, Natalia.
Yeah,
it's in the fine print in the contract when you sign it, when you become a parent. You've got to read that fine print.
You're right.
Not just on mobile phone contracts, peoples.
No.
Thank you, Natalia.
You know what Natalia was saying about when they're 18,
still
sleeping in your bed? Yep. Connor was so cute the other day. He said to Leah, he goes, Mummy, I like sleeping in your bed. She goes, oh, well, that's nice, but we don't do it all the time, do we? Just sometimes. He goes, no. He said, when I'm 30, I will still sleep in your bed. And I thought, I'm so going to remind him of that when he's 30 years old. Hey, mate, you want to sleep in Mum's bed tonight?
Yeah, no.
Dad, I'm cool, hey.
You should do that at school when he's in, like, year 11 or 12.
Yes.
And, you know, cool and all and
stuff.
That'd be great. You'd be the most popular dad around.
Oh, but it would be funny.
It's worth it for the gag.
It is worth it for the gag.
If you'd like to keep the conversation going, you can. FromMouthsOfBabes.com is the blog site for Katrina, and that will be up soon, the text version of that, and you can access that through our website as well.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.